Dennis Fisher for Mr. Banjo, and before my time starts...
Mr. Fisher, again, I was just going to say the same thing before the clock starts running. You have a request, which I think we will take up immediately after the argument on the merits.
All right.
And it won't count on you in your time.
Thank you.
So let's just go to the merits.
I thought it would be fair to do it first. Dennis Fisher for Mr. Banjo. This case distills down to five almost bullet points about this, about issues that have come up here. And that first is...
around the long filing delay of 5 months or so in terms of the, you know, the appeal here.
And well within the mine run of California delays in the cases that were cited just the other day even by my opposing colleague, citing Judge O'Scanlan, the case in Judge O'Scanlan sat on the Chaffer litigation.
That recent case, the Supreme Court's case in Chavez. See whether you can distinguish those and tell me why your case doesn't fall apart because of those precedents.
This case is, as I say, Chavez says, we look at what California does, and we are concerned with two things, the length of the delay and whether the delay is unexplained.
So you have to explain the delay here to
us,
right?
I certainly hope we have.
Let's hear how you do it.
Well, I certainly think our pleadings were pretty darn good about that. But I might suggest...
let me be specific. Typically, 30 to 60 days is about a recognizable time within which to file. This was a second petition.
Yes.
He didn't file for 5 months.
Yes, right. The same period of...
get over the 30... let's say 60 days is the outside limit. What justifies taking 5 months?
You look at the Gravilius declarations that indicated they are, I believe, J and O. That was our investigator who took over the case after the original investigator died. What he did for this long period of time trying to get information, and we, and I will take responsibility as the appellate counsel for the first time, we, cognizant of California procedure laid out in In re Robbins and In re Gallego, the two cases at 18 Cal 4th, which cite In re Clark, the case at 5 Cal 4th, all cited in the briefs, and in those cases, the Supreme Court said there is a mechanism that requires diligence, not unreasonable delay, and when you have facts that trigger the filing of a petition, you've got to file it without unreasonable delay. And that happened with the first one when we got Mr. Galletta, the fellow that was eventually found not credible by Superior Court judge.
I feel like I'm kind of a tape recorder this morning, but I'm bothered by the factual finding in the record by the Superior Court judge, which I believe is at excerpts of record 21 and 22, that after the evidentiary hearing that was conducted on November 12, where your first witness was called and discredited.
Galletta.
Yes. The judge went on to say that the second petition relies upon people who were readily available and should have been presented during the extensive proceedings on the first petition, therefore finds there was no reasonable diligence during that.
I ask this court, please read our declarations in support of that. We have demonstrated justification. Like, if we didn't justify what a task it was to find these three people, one of whom had moved, nobody, Banjo didn't know about any of them.
Well, here's the problem I've got.
Okay.
And it's a statutory problem. 28 U.S.C. Section 2254E1 says that we must defer to the factual findings of the state court unless the petitioner can show by clear and convincing evidence that that fact is clearly erroneous. And unfortunately for Mr. Banjo, the same evidence that is being offered here was considered by the Los Angeles County Superior Court in making that factual finding.
No, it wasn't, Your Honor.
Well, he had the three witnesses. Right?
No, he didn't have the... No. When, oh, he, oh, but he didn't find... He denied the motion, and here's the important point. Procedurally, he denied the motion for new trial. He said, this is a problem. It should have been done sooner. I disagreed totally with his findings. It's the clearest of error on the showings we have made factually. But putting that aside, the procedure was that he treated it as a motion for new trial under California law. Under California law...
Well, but does it matter, though? I guess
sure it does.
What I'm, well, what I'm
it wouldn't be an independent, an adequate procedural ground.
Well, that's what I'm trying to test here. I did not have, I don't think he's supplied us with a transcript of the actual hearing itself in the California Superior Court, the collateral evidentiary hearing on the new trial motion.
And the question, there was none.
There was none?
Oh, no, it was
so
was
we don't
changes.
We don't know.
That's right.
We don't know how much of this information was provided to the Superior Court.
It was all provided.
It was all provided.
I assure you it was provided.
Okay, well,
I'll
take your representation, but that doesn't alleviate my concern. My concern is if that information was before the finder of fact and he entered an adverse finding to you, how can we meet 2254?
Number one, he could be wrong.
Well, there's certainly that problem.
And we have argued that. And he is wrong, and we have made the demonstration. Number two, he didn't rely on it. He instead went back to mentioning Mr. Galletta, who has nothing to do with it, and said, I still remember that witness, Galletta, and I found him not credible. He's the one who got off the plane and insisted on testifying. It's really apples and oranges, because Galletta had nothing to do with these three except... This was a man who wouldn't cooperate with trial attorney at the beginning, as our declarations show. He wouldn't talk to anybody about this. And the defense had to file, because under Gallego-Robbins, when you finally get somebody, you've got to file a habeas petition in state court. That's the state requirement. We did it. But In re Robbins says that you only can do what you should have knew or should have known. Look at the Robbins decision for Chief Justice's lengthy analysis, which guides California practitioners to this day. We followed that. We made the showing that we didn't know, couldn't have known, shouldn't have known, shouldn't be held to that burden, and we made it to Judge Johnson in the Superior Court where it should have been made.
You find out all the so-called additional information.
Yes.
In terms of the timeline, I'm not sure I understand.
Where it came from was that we finally got to the manager, finally agreed to speak to the defense team.
How much time elapsed from the time that you acquired all the information
yes.
that you want us to consider
yes.
until you filed the successive?
That was the 145 days, and that relatively brief period of time after judge said, I don't find Galletta credible, first petition denied.
Happened with that 145-day interregnum.
What we did was we found somebody who would let us in, who would talk to us and said...
The question is from that time
and said,
until you filed,
that's
how much
right.
time elapsed?
And 145 days.
No, no, no.
Oh.
From the time that you got all your ducks lined up
right.
until you filed your...
I think we filed
petition.
I think we filed within 30, 45 days.
Days.
We filed within 60 days of getting that.
Is there anything in the record that tells us that?
I think we alleged every date that we had, and I believe it's in the declarations. I cannot swear, however, that I got that date correct. It's within a 5-month time frame that California over and over again has held is acceptable. And Chavez says, look at California law. And when there are disputed issues, Your Honor, Chavez even says, we accord as much, we indulge in the petitioner's view that we will give the petitioner every chance the petitioner gives us to consider. Look at the end of Chavez for Judge Breyer's very succinct quote, which I'm not able to suddenly state as effectively as he does. But in 145 days, the amount of work that went into finding this man in another city who happened to then admit very, very embarrassedly that the same woman who was the alleged victim in this case had propositioned him. So did these two young men in living separately in the apartment. One had moved, one was there, which no Banjo didn't know about that. And one of our complaints is that defense counsel at the trial didn't know about it, and he was ineffective for not investigating it. That's how we had to do it ourselves. We had to prove it ourselves.
Very well. Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the government.
Good morning. May it please the court, Deputy Attorney General Daniel Chang appearing on behalf of Respondent Appellee. I won't repeat the same arguments I included in my answering brief, but I would like to emphasize a few points. The first point is, even assuming the Superior Court did not dismiss the second petition as untimely, petitioner's federal petition is untimely, and this is true for two alternative but equally valid reasons. First of all, under Dills v. Smalls, petitioner is not entitled to interval tolling for that 5-month period between his first Superior Court petition and his second Superior Court petition. And so under that basis alone, he's not entitled to interval tolling. His federal petition is untimely.
Based on what?
Upon the fact that under Dills v. Smalls.
Dills?
D-I-L-S.
D-I-L-S. Okay.
Yes. That he's not entitled to interval tolling for that 5-month period between, and that should be more precise, between the denial of his motion for reconsideration of his first Superior Court petition and his filing through counsel of his second Superior Court petition.
If it takes him a considerable amount of time to find what would be, I guess for lack of a better phrase, newly discovered evidence, the fruits of the investigation that was ongoing materialize, and they're relevant, you're telling me that that's not a factor that we should consider in terms of the time span?
Well, I think that that evidence was presented before the Superior Court. The Superior Court was in the best position to make that determination.
What is this Dill case all about then?
The Dill case, the issue presented in Dills v. I think it's Dills v. Small. I know it's Dills. The issue presented is whether or not the district court erred by denying that federal petition as untimely. Now this court, the Ninth Circuit in the Dills case, did not find any interval tolling between his two successive petitions following the California Supreme Court. I think in that case it was 13 days. Based upon that aspect of Dills, the same applies here. Petitioner is certainly not entitled for interval tolling for the 5-month period between his two Superior Court petitions.
Counsel, I know that Mr. Fisher didn't have Chavez in front of him when he was referring us to some comments that Justice Breyer made at the end of the opinion. But I looked at the end of the opinion, and one thing that just leapt out at me is that he writes, we have found no authority suggesting nor found any convincing reason to believe that California would consider an unjustified or unexplained 6-month filing delay reasonable. That does not seem to me to help Mr. Banjo's argument.
It does not help Mr. Banjo. In fact, it undermines his position. I mean, because not in this case, in Chavez, this court observed that the Chavez court mentioned a 30-to-60-day period. Obviously, 5 months is well beyond that 60-day period.
But there are qualifications to that under specific circumstances, I guess. It's not an all, or nothing proposition. There are circumstances which would, I guess, warrant a significant period of passage of time. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
You say that these circumstances are not extant in this case,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the reason for that, once again, is because this additional investigation and covering, arguably, the names of the prostitutes, you say, are not relevant, or they should not be considered for some other reason?
I'm saying that the Superior Court found
thumbs down on it.
Yes, and it was a call for the Superior Court to make, because the untimeliness and the unexplained delay and explanations is a matter of state law, which the Superior Court interpreted.
Well, your adversary says that the Superior Court was dead wrong, and that this record is rife with all sorts of reasons why that's not a correct determination.
I don't believe
assess that under a debt.
I don't believe the Superior Court was wrong at all. In fact, the district court in reviewing the Superior Court's order denying the second petition, came to the same conclusion that although Petitioner's counsel offered explanations for the delay, those explanations were unjustified. So the District Court and the Superior Court came to the same precise conclusion that the delay was unjustified.
So this is lights out under the debit then?
Yes. The second point I would like to make is even assuming, or I would like to address the decision in King v. Roe, which sort of provided an exception to the rule that successive petitions filed in the same court don't toll the federal statute of limitations. Now, petitioner's counsel, to take advantage of King, has to satisfy both requirements of King. Under the first requirement of King, we have to ask ourselves, was the second Superior Court petition offered to correct the deficiencies in the first Superior Court petition? And the answer is absolutely not. And the reason is because the first
Counsel, the first witness was proffered to say the victim was a prostitute. The three additional witnesses were proffered to say the victim was a prostitute. The judge had ruled that he didn't believe the first witness, so Mr. Fisher went out and did what any good defense lawyer would do. He found three other witnesses who hopefully would be more credible to establish that fact. Wouldn't you concede that had the jury known that the victim of the kidnap rape was a prostitute, that that might have produced a different result here on the charge?
Because he offered additional declarations in a second petition to corroborate Goleta's testimony during the first hearing on the first petition does not make the first petition deficient.
But the first petition was found deficient because the trial judge did not believe the only witness that the defense could find, the apartment manager, who would establish the victim's employment. I don't know quite how to put it, but and when the judge didn't believe that witness's testimony, they found three more who would say the same thing. Why isn't that simply trying to plug the holes in the same claim?
Respectfully, I would absolutely disagree with your conclusion that the first Superior Court petition was deficient because first of all, it was extensively litigated. There was testimony taken. The court denied it on the merits in a well-reasoned in a reasoned decision. Now,
he didn't believe the testimony that the defense offered.
But that doesn't make it deficient within the meaning of King. Because otherwise, what wouldn't be deficient within the meaning of King? I mean, hypothetically, a habeas petitioner could offer petitions and just get, within a reasonable amount of time and then toll the statutory limitations indefinitely.
Doesn't the rule, though, require a change in theory, that it's an entirely new claim than the one that was previously litigated? That's how I always understood the rule to mean.
You mean between...
Well, for example, suppose the first claim here is that I was deprived of effective assistance of counsel because I didn't have the benefit of this witness, the apartment manager, who would help show that the victim was not a sweet, innocent woman who was just plucked off the streets of Hollywood. And therefore, that's an IAC claim. But then the petitioner comes back the second time with an entirely different claim. My counsel was ineffective because he failed to strike a juror that was left.
Right.
That's a different claim.
That's a different claim, so that second...
case, there's no tolling,
right?
So I'm still having a hard time understanding your position that this isn't the same claim and that the defense isn't trying to bolster the weakness that the Superior Court judge found the first time out of the box.
Well, I think what you're referring to is King, is the court's, the Ninth Circuit case in King, but to take advantage of the interval tolling provided by King, the petitioner has to satisfy those two requirements, one of which is that to show that the first petition was deficient. The second, and I would just submit on the arguments I made on that prompt.
Very well. We devoutly wish that the California legislature would resolve this question and would save a lot of cases in this court.
I as well, Your Honor.
Very well. Anything further?
No, that's...
If not, the case just argued will be submitted for decision. And we will ask Mr. Fisher to come back to the podium. We have your filing, and we want to know what would be the latest date that we could rule on the merits and still accommodate your travel schedule.
I think almost any date would be a problem just because of other intervening deadlines, and it just would work so much better if...
Well, how about tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow would be difficult, but I obviously have left the court with a lot of reading to do, and so I'm not inclined to be happy with that. I'd rather take my calls to Newcastle and come back afterwards and wrestle with this and whatever else comes in the office. And that, of course, assumes it doesn't go the right way, and that's why I brought the thing up before argument, so that kind of leave it at neutral territory.
So you need us to give you at least until when? In July?
July 26th is the last Monday. In July, it follows my return the end of the preceding week.
So you're asking us to defer submission?
Or decision. I'm not sure whatever would work for the court. Yeah. If the decision is filed July 26th or after, however it comes down, that would be most helpful to me, and that'd be very
well. How about the state? Does the state have any objection?
I have no objection.
Well, we'll take it under advisement, yes. Mr. Fisher. Thank you very much. The next case for argument is U.S. versus Castro.